today on Real Radio.
I know there's a person bleeding on the side of the road, and I'm going to pray about it and see how the Lord leads me. I don't think so. I think you might see somebody bleeding on the side of the road, and you respond to help them, and you can be in prayer all along the way.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2, continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, with verses 5 through 9. In these verses, the Apostle Paul has us looking at ourselves. Are we in distress? Not to worry, for the Lord is at hand. Paul also tells us to let our gentleness be known to others, and our conduct be that of balance and self-control. Gentleness means knowing when not to apply the letter of the law, but rather the spirit of the law. The Lord's coming is imminent, so we are to be more just towards others than justice itself. For winning the lost to Christ is our greatest commission. Today, Pastor Jack tells us how to have the peace of God when we're talking about ourselves. We are to be anxious for nothing, for wrong things lead to ill feelings, which then leads to regrettable actions. Worry and anxiety is the sin of doubt and fear. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says to counter anxiety, we are to pray. We can't pray enough, church. In fact, would you agree with me? If not, just fake it. Will you? Just make me feel better. I'm always convicted about how little I pray. I've never met a person who's ever had the arrogance or ignorance to say, oh, I've prayed enough. We've never prayed enough. But you know what's weird about that? Would you also agree with me that after praying, the moment does come where you need to step onto the field or get into the battle or make the decision or go with the plan? You notice what I'm talking about? That's true in life, isn't it? Now listen, this is a very serious thing in our Christian walk, because we take the example for something to hide behind, where in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I believe it is, where it says that we're to pray about everything. And sometimes as Christians, because we're fearful, watch how we muddy this up. We're fearful, we pray, but we don't release it to God. We pray, and I'm not even sure if we're really praying when we're praying. We might just be informing God about how much we're worrying about it. But we pray, and then the moment comes to step, and we don't step. There's a contradiction to the invitation to pray. We are to pray. We all confess we never pray enough. But there comes a moment when you've got to step out. There was a moment when Moses had to enter into the waters of the Red Sea. There's a moment when Joshua had to go into the river Jordan and cross. There's a moment where you got to go. Many times, Christians, we will drape our, what, fear, our timidity in prayer, but we never move. And I think we're actually lying to ourselves. When we pray, we come to that point where now we've got to go and we've got to leave it in the hands of God. It doesn't mean we stop praying, but it means we get our feet moving. We step out. A lot of Christians today will pray and they'll say, well, I haven't made that decision yet. Or pastor, I'm not going to get involved in church yet. Or I'm not going to do that thing. Or I'm not going to feed the homeless. Imagine that for a moment. I'm still praying about it. I know there's a person bleeding on the side of the road, and I'm going to pray about it and see how the Lord leads me. I don't think so. I think you might see somebody bleeding on the side of the road, and you respond to help them, and you can be in prayer all along the way. But at some point in time, the Christian and the church in America has got to pray and then pull the lever, as it were, or cast the vote or step out and do the deed to honor God. And then that next thing we saw last time together was this. We are to make supplication. That means we are to make petition for ourselves and for others. We're to pray for people. And look, if you attend this church, I know we're here as a family, as a church, and you might say, well, the church is too big. Well, it all depends on how you approach this. Listen, big church, lot of opportunities to be in prayer. I want to serve the Lord, we will say. Then great, a big church is a place where you can serve the Lord in 1,000 different directions. Of course, in a small church, if there's more than, you know, you and your family, there's always enough need. But we need to be a people of prayer and a people of action. So we pray and we lift up others. And notice the whole attitude about it all. All of our prayer and all of our supplication is to be offered up to God with thanksgiving. We're to be thankful to God. And so now dive back in with me. We pick it up where we left off. Here we go. It's in verse 7. How to have the peace of God when it's me we're talking about here, when it's you we're talking about. And that is, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. We would see this in verse 7. God, we would pray, open up the eyes of my heart. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's nothing weak about verse 7. It is powerful. Notice, the peace of God. It's not, look in your Bibles, it's not a peace. This is the peace of God. This is that word Irene. If your name is Irene, it's the peace of God that is dispatched by God himself. In other words, am I a Christian? Yes. Am I weak and frail? Of course. Is God's word true? Absolutely. Then listen, my Christian endeavor is to take the fact that I'm a Christian and fight through my weakness, clinging onto the word of God, the promises of God, with such tenacity that I will not have a fleeting, momentary peace, but I will have, as promised, the peace of God. The peace of God in storms. The peace of God in difficulties. The peace of God at the moment of death. The peace of God. The definite article, the, not a, the peace of God, which surpasses. Oh, this is good. Listen, surpasses. Overwhelming, abounding, beyond the limit line or beyond the vanishing point, surpasses. So we need to pray, oh God, when it comes to my life, help me, Lord, to see this. When it's me, we're talking about God. I can have faith. I can pray for you. Are you like this? I'm like this in life. If you come to me and you say, Pastor, I'm sick, I can pray for you in faith. And I'll even thank God in advance. Oh, God, touch my brother. Touch my sister. But then, you know, it's me. When I'm sick, I have to confess this to you. I don't have to confess. I'm going to choose to confess this to you. Hope I can't get sued for this. I went to, and I don't normally do this, but I was so hungry. I went to a Starbucks, and I got something to eat, and here's the first warning. I picked up this food thing, and the lid was open. And I said, ma'am, you might want to throw this away, the lid's open. Then I grabbed the second one, and the lid wasn't as open. But it still concerned me. It wasn't exactly shut either. So what did I do? Number one, I'm hungry. Number two, I'm in a hurry. Number three, give it the smell test. Smelled fine to me. Laid down my money, bought it, ate it. Got sicker than a dog. Fastest way to lose 10 pounds. I tell you what, man, I got food poisoning this week, sicker than a dog. You know what was sad about the whole thing? Here I am. I taught last week on prayer. I'm telling you about it today. And I realized about 3 days into it, I hadn't even asked God to heal me. I'm thinking, well, surely he knows what I've been doing. This is your pastor talking to you, encouraging you to be spiritual. And here I am saying, I've been sick for like 3 days. I guess I should ask the Lord to heal me. Isn't that terrible? But if you come to me in an instant, brother, let's pray. Why? Because I believe God wants to heal you. And I completely neglected myself about that. God wants to move in our lives, and I wonder how many times we leave him out, as it were, at the curb. He's waiting to get involved, but the Bible says we don't have because we don't ask. And that may sound like a silly illustration to you, but it meant something to me. 3 days into this, God prompted my heart. When are you going to ask me to make you better? Oh, sorry, Lord. You're right. You see the word understanding here? It's the word to excel, to go beyond, listen, beyond the intellect. This is a challenge for us. He wants to give us the peace of God which surpasses my intellect. In other words, my way of reasoning. Lord, I figured this all out, and I should not have peace in the midst of this thing. When I do the math and the budget doesn't work and we're going to be belly up at the end of the month, why do I have peace? Have you ever been in a situation like that and your family turns to you and they're asking, why aren't you panicking? You have the peace of God. Or the doctor says, you know what, you've got this. And everybody starts breaking down crying and you've got peace. And they think, oh, look, the poor man's in denial. And you even begin to think yourself, I guess I should be freaking out. And you can't explain it. God brings you a peace that goes beyond. Christian, can you hear my voice? Are you hearing me right now? To the Christian, I can tell you, because of the word of God, it says so, that when the crisis comes to the child of God, God, without earning, without merit, without you somehow having enough brownie points to get it, God bestows upon you his peace that surpasses your ability, your intellect, your thinking, and it actually causes confusion among other people while you have a peace that passes all understanding. And you know down deep inside, Lord, thank you. I can't figure this out. And I don't want to figure it out. And you leave it to God. It's an awesome place to be. Christian, if you've never experienced that, in life you will. Your God will not abandon you in that moment of trial. And then he says it will guard. Your heart will be guarded. The word guard, this is a great military term. It means to put a point man out in front. There's a point man. That man is highly armed. He's walking point. He's going out ahead of everybody. The Lord is out ahead of you. He's the point man. The word is translated to have eyes ahead of the issue. God's peace will go out ahead of the issue. Jesus will go ahead of you as the point man on the issue. And the word also means to have a garrison around you. So watch this. The Bible says that when you pray and call out to God and seek him, that in all of your life's issues, Jesus Christ takes point. He's out front, going first. That means he'll take the first shot. He's got eyes all around your situation, and you're garrisoned with his protection. You are right in the middle of the protection of God. God will garrison. He will guard, number one, your heart. Look at your heart. This is that simple word. You've probably thought about it already. It's cardia, the deep-seated person of who you are. Yes, it's the word for your actual heart that beats blood, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something more important than that. We're talking about the deep-seated area of your emotion, of your very being. When the Bible says, for example, there was no heart left in them, that means all hope was taken from them. Or their hearts were strengthened in the Lord. That means all hope came to them. Where? To the deep core of who they are. And the Bible makes you a promise right here this morning. God is saying, I will garrison the deep-seated emotions of your very soul. I will protect you. The deepest emotions, the deepest thoughts, the core of your feelings. And then some of your Amplified Bibles might put it this way. Guard your hearts and guard your minds. A repeat of that. A garrison of your minds. This word mind here is the word, the place of your perception. Church, you and I need this. Our perception. This is a dangerous thing if we perceive things wrong. Listen to me. It means disposition. It means the devices that we employ. The place from where we observe. This is critical. The peace of God, look in your Bible, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will garrison your hearts and garrison your minds. I need this. You and I, listen, when we're not praying, our minds will get off into an area and we'll view things from a different angle that's not right. A prism, if you shine light through it, there's a way to shine light into a prism that doesn't work. You could take unorganized light, ambient light that's in this room, and you can set up a prism. If you've had seventh grade science class, you've had that prism where you shine a light, and there's a very vague, maybe almost, can you see the rainbow look shining out of the prism? Well, that's from ambient or disorganized light. The prism is still trying to broadcast the frequencies or the colors of the spectrum, and you see that as a faint rainbow. You might see it this afternoon. If it clears up, there'll be a rainbow. The more intense the light focused, the more intense the rainbow. If you shoot a laser, as it were, or organized light through a prism, you'll have a very brilliant rainbow display of color. Why? The perspectives change. The angle of how it's viewed is changed. Listen, you and I, many of us need this in our lives. In fact, let me take that back. All of us need this. We need to change the way we view things. Right now, as I stand here, as you sit here today, we have a dear brother in this church that may, in the last 30 minutes, have passed into glory. We're waiting to hear. His family is surrounding him. Any moment now. There may be those in that family that are viewing it from an angle of unorganized light. Are you with me? They're viewing his departure as a very tragic thing or as a very, very dark thing. Or, okay, you got it. A believer, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We walk with the Lord. We have fellowship with God. And listen, no matter what comes into our lives, no matter how stormy the day might be, because the Lord is the light of life, when we look through the prism of life with organized light, what is broadcast on the other side is the glory of God. And for us, it's like, oh, we've got the wrong perspective. We're looking at the situation with our human eyes. And God wants us and God calls us to back up and to put on his eyes, as it were. And the word of God, by the way, is that light. And are those eyes, the word, the promises of God to the issue? Everything changes. So we want to ask ourselves, how is it and what am I thinking regarding the situation of my life? Open up the eyes of my heart, Lord. You say, Jack, that's ridiculous. My heart doesn't have eyes. Yes, it does, if you understand what I'm talking about. And here's one of the greatest things of all. How in the world would this ever happen? And you might even say this today. You might say, Jack, I love the verse, but how could that ever possibly be true? Good question. Look at the word after minds. It's the word through. Through. Oh, I hope this blesses you. Circle the word through, because it means coming from a fixed position. So watch this. The still, calming peace of God, which is to the vanishing point of my human inability to understand, beyond my human intellect. I am garrisoned around in my deepest emotions, feelings, the core of my very being. I am garrisoned about regarding the perspective on how I view things. How is this humanly possible? How can I experience this? Ah, thank you. It is through Christ Jesus from a fixed position. It means in place, in time, in state, to be, listen, in motion or movement with Christ into the situation. Look, you and I are in the situation. We're in it. But Christ comes to it. When we're in our life's issues, we are in it. That's obvious. And if our perspective's wrong, we're overwhelmed. But when we cry out to him, he reminds us, Jack, I'm coming to you now through that perspective. I'm coming through you through the prism, Jack, of not disorganized panic, terror, ambient, worthless light. I'm coming to you in a dialed down, specific light. I'm bringing an answer to the issue. I'm bringing this hope to you now, and it all comes one way, through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. And he's that focal point. Watch this, so much so. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ Jesus." This is awesome. By the blood of Jesus himself. You don't need to be shy or even timid or careful about entering into the very presence of God because you have the blood of Christ covering your life. Listen, none of us get this. Right now, if right now in a moment's time, if you knew in 3, 2, 1, your breath was to be taken from you and you'd enter eternity, you wouldn't need to worry, you wouldn't need to panic, you don't need to get anxious because the very blood of Christ has qualified you to walk into the presence of God in heaven without a flinch. You say, "I'm not worthy of that." That's called Christianity. Welcome. Welcome to Christianity. That's what it truly is. It's all him. It's not you. It's not me. It's what he's done. But look, we're not done in Hebrews 10. Look at verse 20. "By a new and living way," that is, "we enter, which he consecrated for us." Here it is. "Through the veil," that is, his flesh. Verse 21, "and having a high priest over the house of God," verse 22, "let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." That's a reference to the word of God. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." No need to waver. No need to doubt. "For he who promised is" what?
"Faithful."
He'll do it. I tell you, after saying something like that, it's like, let's go now. I mean, seriously, think about it. Let's go now. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. How am I going to have peace regarding my life?" Only when God is allowed to open up the eyes of your heart. Lord, we would pray this morning, come in, God, and open up the eyes of my heart, that I would see this awesome truth in reality. Verse 7 guarantees for us, if we would just believe it, a radical, unflinching, bold, dynamic Christian life. There's no other way. Now look, we come to our second argument. How to have the peace of God when my mind becomes a battlefield. Look at verse 8. When my mind becomes a battlefield. Well, we look it up. Verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true." He's going to give us three things here. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, and whatever things are just. How do we have the peace of God when our minds are, in fact, the battlefield? And that is true, you know. Your mind, my mind, it is the battlefield. Well, mark this down. How do we have a successful, strong Christian life when it's us we're talking about? Well, we run toward the good. And we need to mark this down. We run toward the good. And I want you to put this in the margins of your notes or whatever it takes to make this a memory. But church, you and I as believers, we've got to discipline ourselves to run toward what is good in life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called "How to Have Peace with God When," Part 2. Thanks for listening. And when you don't know what to do, it's time to rest in what God has already done. Today was day one of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new real-life TV program every Friday morning? You know, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So go check that out at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Every Friday morning, a brand new real-life TV program. It's available right there at our website. You could use our app to get there if you'd like, or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. That's every Friday morning, a brand new real-life TV program. Go check that out at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.